Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And we start with really good news out of the 7th Congressional District in Washington State. 14-term Democrat Jim McDermott not seeking re-election. Some of you are whooping it up. Others of you are scratching your head saying, well, who's Jim McDermott and why is this such great news? Well, Jim McDermott, as we just mentioned, has been in Congress for 14 terms. That's 28 years by the end of this year. Jim McDermott is a guy who's very acerbic. He likes to make ridiculous comments. I guess until Alan Grayson came around, he was one of the more nasty Democrats on a whole host of issues. And not a very pleasant person to deal with, but Jim, he's most famous as Baghdad Jim, because he, in 2002, went over to Iraq with then-Michigan Congressman David Bonnier and California Congressman Michael Thompson and basically talked about, you know, it's not so bad over here, what's going on. There's no need for military action. Basically, publicly on Iraqi soil, saying that the Bush administration policy was bunk, that there was no need to remove Saddam Hussein from power, let the inspections work. And then a few years later, it turned out that the trip was paid for by the Saddam Hussein government, although it's not completely clear that the congressman knew that at the time. But nonetheless, Jim, the fact that Jim McDermott will not be in Congress anymore is a very good thing.
I'm trying to think about whether that was probably was his worst moment. That's one of the reasons he got the nickname Baghdad Jim. The only other thing that kind of jumps out at me that I also feel is worth mentioning in there is back in 1997, there was an investigation of Newt Gingrich, and apparently Gingrich was calling, I believe it was actually John Boehner or a couple other members of Congress, and he did the call. And these two citizens, allegedly as John and Alice Martin, claimed they overheard the conversation on a police scanner, and then he recorded it. Now, that's illegal. You're not allowed to listen into other people's phone calls and record them. They gave the tape to McDermott, and McDermott, of course, releases it to the press. This is, you know, arguably illegal. McDermott claimed that, well, I'm not really responsible for this because I didn't do the taping. All I did was give it to the press. And I believe it was, you know, 2006, the court rules 2-1. McDermott violated federal law when he turned over the illegally recorded tape to media outlets. And they, you know, Jim McDermott had to pay Boehner's legal costs. Then they vacated the judgment, had to re-hit. You know, they split 4-1 on a long legal fight. But basically, what does Jim McDermott do about a decade later, Greg?
What's that?
He objects to the NSA listening into phone calls. That's the worst, isn't it, Jim McDermott? So, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Just a rotten guy. Probably the epitome of everything you can't stand. Not an easy district for Republicans to win, but this is just one of those situations. The next Congress will be better just because it doesn't have Jim McDermott in it.
Oh, man. Got rid of Moran last time. McDermott's leaving this time. Rangel's leaving this time. There's definitely some happy news to start the year. Okay, on to the bad martini now. And without getting too bogged down in the details of the quote-unquote standoff out in Oregon, it appears that Ammon Bundy and his allies out there are perhaps touting themselves a little too highly. And obviously this is a difficult issue for conservatives because we hate to see the government harassing landowners. And a lot of people think that's what happened with the Hammonds here. They had a deal with the Bureau of Land Management. They say that they could burn some of their property to make it more fertile. The BLM says that's not what happened, so they got sentenced to 5 years in prison. One of them was let out in a few months. One was let out in a year. The government appealed that decision and said they had to go back, and the appeals court agreed. And so now they're turning themselves in, and so that's what happened. The Hammonds have said through their attorneys that Ammon Bundy does not speak for them. And that didn't stop Cliven Bundy, who demanded by letter that Harney County, Oregon Sheriff Dave Ward take Hammond men into protective custody to shield them from reporting for prison. Even other militia leaders in the region aren't exactly rushing to side with the Bundys in the standoff. This is all from Ed Morrissey at Hot Air. Militia groups through the day Sunday continue to distance themselves from the occupation through press statements. Quote, these actions were premeditated and carried out by a small group of persons who chose to carry out this takeover, said 3% Idaho. It's a group whose president helped to organize the rally and parade in support of the Hammonds before they turned themselves in. So, Jim, the media is trying to whip this into a massive standoff. Others are worried that it's going to turn into Waco or Ruby Ridge. Meanwhile, the FBI hasn't even bothered to show up yet.
Yeah, which is probably one of the most encouraging aspects of this. The reason this is the bad martini is it sounds like this family has a very, you know, at least, you know, by the eye test, as they say on ESPN, just from the look of it, it sounds like they're really getting a ludicrously draconian punishment for two controlled burns. The damage to federal lands was pretty minimal. You're allowed to do controlled burns to stop invasive species and you know, other threats to your property. This is the sort of thing that, you know, you should not go to jail for 9 years for doing $1,000 worth of damage. That basically, this is something that it looks more and more like the government has decided to target these people because they won't sell their land. The government wants it. This is a fight that's been going back for, you know, more than a decade. The problem is that this is very, you know, very compelling case of individuals standing up to the government, and the government using its power in a punitive and unfair way is getting complicated by the fact these guys are doing a sit-in with guns. If they do it without the guns, you have something that is comparable to the lunch counter sit-ins of the 1960s, right? The objective of saying, look, I'm here, I am making my point, I am protesting, I am not leaving, you're gonna have to arrest me, right? I mean, that's kind of the standard. This is the tradition here. This generally you look good by being arrested. For a lot of these protesters, getting arrested is the point. The moment you show up with guns, all of a sudden you kind of lose the sympathy. All of a sudden you lose that. Now, thankfully, this has not blown up into a major eruption, and I kind of like this approach the FBI is taking, which is nothing. You know, that sooner or later these guys are going to have to go out for food and something like that. They'll end up giving up. Apparently, the building was unoccupied when they use it. This is not a building they use all the time. This could be a win-win. These protesters get to make this very clear demonstration of how angry they are and how upset they are by these policies. The other thing is that the guys who are protesting, in addition to kind of alienating the locals, you want to have a clear objective in mind in these circumstances. You want to basically say, look, we want this family to get a new independent review to see whether they're being treated by the government. Or we want the government to change the regulations on when and how you can do a controlled burn and what the punishment should be if your controlled burn accidentally damages federal lands. Then they start saying, well, we're doing this to restore the Constitution. Well, okay. Right, that's not going to happen before January 20th, 2017. Right? I mean, like the bigger and more elaborate and less specific your goals get, the bigger a problem you're going to have. So it looks like a just cause is in damage of getting harmed here.
All right, on to the crazy martini now, Jim, and I do mean crazy. Let's go to the Hillary Clinton campaign. In this particular story, she's not going after Donald Trump. She's not telling people to vote for her because she's a woman, which are her two main things that she's doing on the stump lately. This is from the Hill version, but a lot of people have covered this. Hillary Clinton says that aliens may have already visited humanity. Quote, I think we may have been visited already. We don't know for sure, the Democratic presidential frontrunner told the Conway Daily Sun during a campaign stop in New Hampshire last week. Her comment came after being asked about her husband Bill Clinton's comments during an appearance on late night show Jimmy Kimmel Live in 2014 when he suggested that extraterrestrial life could exist. I just hope it's not like Independence Day, said Clinton, referring to the film where aliens attack Earth. Hillary Clinton told a Sun reporter that she would get to the bottom of UFOs. The reporter said the two spoke before in 2007 when Hillary Clinton said the top open records request her husband received at his library involved UFOs. She also noted that campaign chairman John Podesta, who served as White House chief of staff under Bill Clinton and in Barack Obama's White House, is a major fan of UFO theories. Quote, he has made me personally pledge we are going to get the information out, Clinton said one way or another. Maybe we could have like a task force go to Area 51. So, Jim, so many different ways you could go after this one, context and humor-wise. Where do you start?
Obviously, look, you can laugh at her. Ace of Spades made the very good point that we always like to play the game, what if a Republican had said it? If Jeb Bush had said, yeah, you know, I'm really wondering what happened at Area 51 and I really want, you know, that would be considered a big deal. And the media would use that to otherize Jeb Bush or any other Republican. The idea of turning him into a weirdo, strange. Remember, you know, Ben Carson and his belief the pyramids were used for storing grain?
Yes.
Most archaeologists say they're tombs, but, you know, okay, I don't care what Ben Carson – he's not Indiana Jones, okay? He's not going to – you know, the job of the president is not to go explore the tombs and catch the mummies and stuff like that. I don't – you know, but this is the sort of thing that, you know, if you say something that is a minority view that is very easy to say, oh, you know, there goes the Republican candidate running around chasing little green men. I think that it's even more interesting, Greg, So Hillary's going to get to the bottom of the big UFO conspiracy. Is that basically the gist of these comments?
Sounds like it.
Okay. The woman who covered up Benghazi. Right. I mean, like her, you know, the woman with the secret server that she didn't tell anybody about. Like, her entire persona is about covering up things she doesn't want the public to do. But she's going to be the one who's going to confront cigarette smoking ban and blow this story wide open, right? You know. You know, Greg, that if under Hillary presidency we get invaded by aliens, it's all going to be blamed on a video. At this point, you know, with the death rays coming down from the Martians, what difference does it make? You know,
well, you know, if she gets elected, there's obviously going to be even more scandals. That's baked into the cake. So whenever one horribly comes out, what better way to distract the rest of the world than say, hey, look, aliens.
You know, actually, that would be a pretty awesome distraction. That actually, to give you know, you know what? If at some point there's some sort of really bad bribery scandal, policies being changed in exchange for big donations to the Clinton Foundation or speaking fees for Bill, and she unveils the dead body of an alien recovered from Roswell in 1947, well played, Hillary Clinton. I will tip my hat to you on that one. That's going the extra mile.
That's
going the extra light year.
The draft Bill Pullman for President Committee just got started.
We will not go quietly into the night.
I can't make this stuff up. Jim, have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.